Last week, my boss, Dennis Easter, spoke, and he kind of threw me under the bus there because he told you that before service last week, actually in our prayer time, and we were talking about the series, I said, life's too short to jack around. And he said that from this pulpit last week. You know what? It's true. Life is too short to jack around, like meaning just to waste time. Life is too short to mess around with things that are kind of foolish, because that's what God's word tells us. So we're in this very short series, and today is the end of this short series about life being too short. This is what we read in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. Paul wrote and he said this, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools." In other words, don't jack around. Don't mess around. Don't be fools. Why? Because we need to be careful how we live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, it's not that the day, it's not like time is evil, but it's like it's marching so quickly. Time is moving along so quickly that it's like if we don't get after stuff, if we don't start like really being thoughtful about how we live and living with wisdom, man, it's like our opportunities are gone, right? We turn around and it's like, man, our babies are grown. And we turn around again and we're like knocking on the door of retirement. And then we turn around again and people are coming to celebrate our lives at some sort of a service here in this room. And life is just way too quick. It's too short to mess around. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And he goes on in verse 18 and says this, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. In other words, he's contrasting what people that kind of are caught up in foolishness do. I mean, then he contrasts it. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. And I love this. And making music to the Lord in your hearts. There's one thing to sing out with your mouth, but there's another thing to walk around with the song of the Lord kind of bubbling up right there in your heart all day long. And give thanks for everything to God the Father, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're talking about this last idea there about being thankful in everything, because it is Thanksgiving week. And you know what? This very scripture that we've been looking at concludes with this idea that life is too short to be unthankful. God has called us to be thankful people. Part of how we live wise, to live thoughtfully, is to be people who give thanks for everything. Listen, research has shown some really cool things about living with gratitude in our hearts. It has a lot of positive things to say, as psychologists and researchers have studied those who are grateful and have learned to express their thanks. And contrasted to those people who kind of live unthankfully. They don't live with a lot of gratitude. And what science is telling us is that, man, gratitude is really good for our lives. Giving thanks can change you. Literally, like, change you from the inside out. Studies show that we can deliberately cultivate gratitude in our lives, in our hearts, and can increase our well-being and happiness by doing so. You want to be more happy? Do you want to have greater well-being in your life? Cultivate a spirit of gratitude. Listen to this. Gratefulness, especially when it's expressed to others, is associated with increased energy, optimism, and empathy. Isn't that amazing? That when we give ourselves towards cultivating gratitude and learning to say how grateful we are and express our thanks, it actually creates this well-being within us. It's been said that practicing gratitude seems to kick off a healthy, self-perpetuating cycle in your brain. That when you're grateful, it jump-starts this motor of positivity. Would you rather be more positive or more negative? If you want to generate more positivity in your own life, in your own setting, where you work, in your home, in your bedroom, guess what? Gratitude can help with that, developing and cultivating the spirit of gratitude. But listen, not only can gratitude change us, maybe you'd like to change someone else around you. Study and research has shown that gratitude and expressing thanks not only can change you into a more positive, well person, but it can actually change the people around you. Check this out. According to studies, receiving a compliment like, thank you, I'm grateful for you. Wow, look how you did that. I'm amazed at how well you did. Receiving a compliment stimulates the very same part of the brain as when someone receives cash. Is that cool? So if you tip somebody, you take out your wallet and you say, man, thank you for a job well done. I want to give you something. That's cool. But you know what? You can stimulate that very same part of their brain by saying, thank you for a job well done. And you know what? It'll save you a whole lot of money. But both of those things, whether you give someone money, and I suggest you do that with your verbal thanks. Hey, thank you. But listen, what that actually does, and research has shown, that both giving of money and of giving our thanks and encouragement and compliments, that those actually encourage people to perform better by saying thank you. So rather, when you compliment someone and give them your thanks, rather than them saying, oh, okay, well, I can just kind of sit back and do whatever because they're grateful, and so now I can just kind of hang out and kick my feet back. No, actually, when people thank us and compliment us, it actually urges us to continue doing those very things that brought that compliment and thanks to bear, right? So it's like, wow. So as we cultivate gratitude in our lives, man, we can move from being more negative to be more positive, but we can also change those around us by saying thank you, by expressing gratitude. Listen, gratitude is a wonderful and beautiful thing that we're going to be talking about. But you know what? We can get stuck being unthankful. And I think that there are three primary ways in which we get stuck. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Three uncomfortable reasons we get stuck being unthankful. And the first one, the first reason that we get stuck is just immaturity. Oh, immaturity. And let me give you an example of that. Children are not born with their gratitude muscle intact within their brain. Gratitude's like a muscle. It has to be exercised. It has to be learned. And children are not born with well-developed gratitude muscles. They're just immature. They have not learned to be grateful. And some have not learned to express thanks for those who help and assist them. They must be taught. Not because they're bad people, but because it's just an area of immaturity that they have not grown and developed in at this point. Listen, and even for some of us adults, if it wasn't for Jimmy Fallon on Friday nights, we would not even know that thank you notes were a real thing. Dun, dun. Okay, sorry. Gratitude has to be cultivated. It has to be developed within us. We must learn the practice of gratitude and of giving thanks. Listen, all through Scripture, we see that this gratitude is something that happens as we mature. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 puts it this way. It says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. In other words, it's one thing to say yes to Jesus. Yep, God, I'll follow you. Man, you did everything for me on the cross, so I'm going to say yes to you. But just as you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must do what? Continue to follow him. There is a journey. There is a journey of discipleship and of growth that is necessary in our lives because we need to move from being spiritually immature to becoming spiritually mature. Just because I said yes to Jesus does not automatically make me spiritually mature. It just means I'm saved. God has blessed me by redeeming my very soul. But that does not mean that I'm yet mature as a follower of Christ. I've got to keep following after him. So it goes on and says, let your roots grow down into him. Listen, it takes time for us to become rooted. We talked a lot about that at the beginning of this year. We did a whole series about what it means to be rooted in Christ. You can find those messages on our website or on iTunes and listen to those podcasts about being rooted in him. But it takes time to become mature. It takes time to sink our roots down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then, when you become spiritually mature, it says, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. You're going to grow strong, and you will overflow with thankfulness. This is really cool because what it's showing us is that part of our spiritual maturity is actually going to result not in just being able to quote more scripture, not in just having greater faith that, okay, man, God, you promised and I can stand on your word and I'm going to be more resolute. I'm going to not sin. No, those are all good things. Those are things that they're like, man, we're maturing in the Lord. But not only those things, it says, what is going to happen as we grow strong, as we become mature in him? We are going to overflow with thankfulness. Spiritually mature people are thankful people. Oh. Wow. Lord, how spiritually mature am I? Am I able to overflow with gratitude? Am I able to overflow with thanksgiving? Am I able to give thanks even when things are challenging? Or do I only say thank you when I've been given some incredible gift? Spiritually mature people are people who overflow with thankfulness. Or in other words, being unthankful is a sign that our faith is still immature and that we have a way to go in following after him and sinking our roots down deeper. There is a lot of scripture that has to do with being thankful. If you just do a Google search on thanks in the Bible, you're going to see scripture after scripture. I just want to give you one example of how we are told and we're taught to move from spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity. It's in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And in these few verses, three times we're told to give thanks. I want you to follow along. Colossians 3, 15 through 17 says this, "And the peace that comes from Christ, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace." Then say it with me, "And always be thankful." Okay, always. And then it goes on, "Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." How? "With thankful hearts." Wow. When we actually were here just moments ago lifting up our voices in song before the Lord, you know what we're doing? We are practicing becoming grateful people. We are practicing what it looks like, sounds like, feels like to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will sing of all you've done," right? Man, that is what we're doing, is we're actually practicing together what we're reading right here. We are learning to come to the Lord in our worship, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Moving from spiritual immaturity to maturity in him. And then he finishes up by saying, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." He says, always be thankful. In your worship, be thankful. And then finishes up saying, "Whatever you do or say, give thanks." Listen, we have to cultivate gratitude. We have to think about it. We have to be intentional about, "God, I want to grow in my gratitude and in expressing that gratitude by giving thanks." And can I just say, parents, mamas and daddies, we have a special and unique responsibility of helping to cultivate gratitude and the giving of thanks within our kids. We have that as a special and unique responsibility. One of the things that we've done in the Mossholder home is that our kids would tell you, "Man, every birthday and every Christmas," you know what they get as one of their gifts in the gift giving, you know, birthdays and Christmas? They always get a stack of thank you notes. That's just something that, like, they know. They're like, they get that little gift that's always a little rectangle, a little box, they're shaking it. And they're like, "Yeah, I know what this is." It's thank you notes. And we not only give them thank you notes, but there's just been this rule in our house ever since our kids were tiny. I mean, before they could even write, they were being taught to give thanks, to express appreciation and gratitude to those who had blessed them with a gift. So here is the rule. If you do not write thank you notes to people who gave you a gift within 30 days, the gift goes back. That's the rule. And our kids just know. I mean, it's like they've known it since they were little. No, you're not thankful for that? Oh, well, that's fine. We'll just give it right back. We'll just send it right back to the sender, because we are people who are thankful people. We are people who are grateful people. So I don't know how you might in your home cultivate gratitude and thanks, but you may find simple ways to just cultivate it, help it grow, planting those little thank you notes that they get at their birthdays or Christmas. It's like a seed, right? It doesn't make them grateful. There's no fruit yet of it, but it's like that planting that seed, saying, "Hey, this is important. Allow this to kind of come and grow in your heart." And as you write that note, or when they were even too little to write, we would have them tell us what to say. You know, and we would write it for them, because we're just cultivating something of a spirit of gratitude and the importance of saying thank you. Because why? Because immaturity will keep us stuck in unthankfulness. Here's something else that'll keep us stuck in unthankfulness: pride. pride. Yikes. Pride will keep us stuck as unthankful people. Why does pride do that? Because when we're proud, I'm more thankful for myself than for you. That's what pride is. I'm more thankful for me than for you and for what you've brought to the table, what you've done to help. Mine was more important. My contribution was greater. So why be thankful? Because what I did was more important than what you did. My gift was bigger. My words were weightier. My work was, I worked harder, I worked faster, I got more accomplished than you did. And so, why say thank you? Pride will get us all focused on ourselves. And it just sucks the gratitude and thankfulness right out of our spirits. Again, all through Scripture, God talks about pride versus humility. And one of the things that we see quoted a couple of times in the New Testament, but is actually being taken right from Old Testament Scripture, is what James said in James 4:6. That God opposes the proud. But what does he do? He actually favors the humble. Man, we read many times that actually when we're proud, that God will bring us low, but God will actually lift up those who are humble. Do you know what humble people do? They give thanks. Because humble people realize that it's not all about me. That it's I didn't do all the stuff around me that has helped me get to where I am. Listen, I think that all of us could say this about ourselves. We didn't raise ourselves. Listen, even Mowgli, okay, had Bagheera and Baloo. He didn't even raise himself. He had other people around him. Little Jungle Book reference there. Listen, he didn't raise himself. He had people. We did not raise ourselves. Could we express gratitude for those who helped to raise us? And you may say, yeah, but I don't think that I care for those people who raised me. Can you find something to say thank you for? Maybe it's putting a roof over your head. Maybe it's putting food in your mouth. Maybe it wasn't your mom or your dad. Maybe it was somebody else. Maybe it was somebody else that stepped up to take care of you. Maybe it was a foster parent. Maybe it was an adoptive situation. Maybe it was a step parent. Maybe it was a grandma or a grandpa or an aunt or an uncle or somebody who helped you grow up. Listen, if you went to school, you didn't educate yourself. Somebody helped you to learn. Somebody helped you to learn to read. Somebody helped you to learn to do math. Somebody taught you. Pride would convince us that we're the center of our own story and that I'm like a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. No, other people helped you to get where you are today. If you played sports, got good at sports, you didn't coach yourself. Somebody else helped to coach you. Learning to be grateful. If you have a job, guess what? You didn't hire yourself. Or very few of you did. You didn't hire yourself. Somebody else hired you. If you ate food this week, I doubt that you raised everything you ate. And listen, when we think about our relationship with God, we did not earn God's favor. This is something that others have poured out upon our lives, helping us to grow, to get to where we are today. Pride makes us the center of our own story. But in humility, we can begin to say thank you to those who have helped us get to where we are today. In fact, you see this up on the screen behind me here. You may want to take out your camera right now and beep, take a picture of that. Okay, come on, take out your cameras. Take a picture of this, because this is a little challenge. This is a little pastoral urging for you. to really think about those who have helped you in your life to get to where you are today. Those who have served you, mentored you, coached you, challenged you to succeed, showed mercy on you when you did not deserve mercy. Maybe the person that shared Jesus with you the very first time, prayed for you, comforted you when you most needed it. My challenge this week is like in this week of Thanksgiving, let's not just get to the table and like, all right, we're going to go around the table and say thank you to mom and dad and brother and sister, whoever is at the table, but to literally think outside of that is who has come alongside of me in my life and helped me to get to where I am today. Find someone, maybe from our past, maybe someone from our present. Maybe it's someone who's nearby and still close at hand that I see all the time. Maybe it's someone who lives far away that I haven't seen for a long time. And then we might pick up the phone. We might actually call them rather than just drop them a text. We might actually write a letter, paper and pen, put a stamp on it and send it out saying, man, I am so grateful for what you did to contribute to my life. Because humble people are people who realize that life has not been all about me. I did not make all of this happen by myself, but others have come alongside and helped me on my journey. But pride will steal away our gratitude every time when we begin to think that it's all about me, it's all about what I've done, and what I've done is more important than what you've done. It'll steal away our thankfulness and our gratitude. Here's the third thing that I believe, this painful, uncomfortable thing that gets us stuck in being unthankful, is my own pain. My own pain. The distress, the anxiety, the discomfort that I'm feeling in my own life can cause me to turn inward rather than think about those things that I am grateful for. Pain, man, it causes us to turn in rather than be able to look out. That's why I'm very grateful for what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It's a very famous portion of scripture. I'm sure that many of you that have been in church for a while have actually seen this, read it, and heard it preached about many times. This is what it says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. Everything, the good and the bad, the challenging and the wonderful. But in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I think a lot of times that when we think about that verse, or maybe even when we've heard it preached before, it's always been like, hey, if you got a problem, bring it to God in prayer. Right? Bring it to God in prayer. But what I want you to see is that right in the middle of that, that we are to bring those things to God in prayer. How? With thanksgiving. We're actually told how to pray. We're told the manner in which you are to pray about this painful, anxiety-ridden problem is actually with thanksgiving. That changes how we pray. And I love the fact that this is embedded within this idea of us being anxious. Listen, God knows when we're facing problems. God knows that our lives are not just one seamless story of, you know, from glory to glory. It's just all good. Like, I don't got problems. I have nothing that's like shaking me. No, God knows that there are things in life that shake us, that cause us to have issues that are anxiety producing. God is not oblivious to the struggle that you're facing. God knows exactly what it is, church, that you're dealing with. I don't know. I know some of your stories. God knows every story. God knows that thing that has been keeping you awake at night. God knows about that doctor's report that you are struggling with and is causing anxious thoughts, fear to rise up. God knows that desire of your heart to get that promotion or to move forward, but it seems to be blocked at every turn. God knows about your marriage or that relationship where you see so much room that needs improvement, and it's like it's actually gotten to that point where, God, if you don't do something, I'm just gonna like break. See, pain will get us stuck. Pain will get us stuck in that place of unthankfulness. But we're told how to move beyond that pain is to bring those very things to the Lord in prayer. God, I was not designed or built to hold these anxious thoughts. I was not designed to hold this pain. So God, I bring it to you. And when it says right there to bring them with prayer and petition, let me tell you, prayer has to do with what you would expect. God, here's this issue. But what is petition? Petition means that we don't go away, that we keep at it. We keep at it. I'm petitioning the Lord. That means I show up at the gates of heaven every day. God, I'm still here. God, there's still a need. God, there is this thing that is in front of me that is causing me pain and anxiety and hardship in my soul. God, I need breakthrough and I need your help. But how do we approach him? We approach him, you guys, moving from spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity. We come to him with thanksgiving. That's hard because pain wants to get us stuck in being unthankful. The very reason that we're coming to him with prayer and having that anxiousness and that pain and that difficulty, some of the very reason would almost tell you, don't be thankful. Look, you're struggling with that hardship. You've been given that diagnosis. Or your marriage has not been getting better in this area. Right? Whatever it is that's causing pain. But that very thing as we come to the Lord, as we grow in maturity, we say, God, but you're reminding me of how I can also bring thanks. Thank you. Thank you at the very time. Listen, Kelly and I right now are having this kind of tested in our own story. We got back, you might remember, we celebrated our 30-year anniversary this year. About a month ago, we went on this wonderful, like, little 30-year anniversary trip. We had such a great time. Rest, relaxation, had our toes in the sand, palm trees above our head. It was so wonderful. We had a great time. So we get back from this wonderful time of rest and just loving on each other and having such a good time. And the very next week, there's a knock on my door. Go to the door and we rent a home. We've rented since we've moved to Santa Maria, and it was our management company. We love our management company and they love us. They're like grateful for us. We're grateful for them. It's wonderful. And I could tell by the look on this guy's face, who was, you know, like the management representative, that he was not happy for some reason. I was like, uh-oh. And he says, hey, I've got some bad news. The owner of the home is going to move back in. So I'm here to let you know. I hate to tell you this because we love you guys. And now we wish it was some of our bad tenants, but you're our good tenants. We wish we could tell you something different, but you've got 60 days and you have to be out of your home. Oh. So we come back from this wonderful trip and we find out you got to move out of your house. So, you know, I mean, the first things you do is you like, wow, okay, you know, you start assessing what are our options. We start to pray. We say, God, okay, you've got this. We know. Like, but let me tell you, as the weeks have moved on, and now it's 28 days from now, we need to be out of our home and under another roof. And despite our best efforts and energies, I mean, we're on every website every day, sometimes multiple times a day, saying, okay, God, we know that, right, Nick's house. And then there's been homes we thought, yes, this is going to be it. This is perfect. This is just what we need. To come to find out, oh, you were second in line for that house and didn't get. So that's happened over this past month. And you know what? We're human. And when it says to bring, you know, your anxious thoughts before the Lord with thanksgiving, can I tell you, that's tough. That's a challenge because every day it's like, oh, you know, you can feel that anxiety rising up just a little bit more and more. But more than once, the Lord has reminded me as I've been talking to him about what we have to be thankful for. So even as I've prayed, things like this have come out of my mouth. God, thank you. For the last 2.5 years, you have given us a home that we've loved and have appreciated. God, you brought us to a great city. God, and you know where we're supposed to live. Thank you for giving us this home for the last 2.5 years. God, thank you that in all of our lives, we have never experienced homelessness. God, you have always helped to have us in a safe place. God, thank you that you don't just know what our basic needs are as a family. God, you know those things that would actually bless us and cause us to rejoice. Thank you, Lord, that you know all these things. And God, thank you that this home is going to continue to provide a really good place for those who live in it. God, would you bless the owner of this home? Thank you for letting them allow us to live here for the last 2.5 years. Listen, are we praying that God opens up the right door? You better believe it. More and more every day. But can I tell you, we also have reason to rejoice and to be grateful for 2.5 years of really good housing and that we know that more is to come. God's not done putting a roof over our head. Hey, listen, immaturity will block us from being thankful people. Pride, thinking the story's about us rather than really reflecting on all those who have helped us. Pride will always steal away our gratitude. And pain, when we're experiencing pain, whether it's physical, emotional, relational, it'll also suck that gratitude right out of our soul, and we have to contend for it. Be grateful people.